good if it goes.
Welcome back to the Good Podcast. We have episode 12. Back in the show, we got Kevin Schrader.
How you doing?
We got the man, the myth, the legend, Sugar Shane.
That's me.
And we got the pothead who's back. Back again for another round this week, Mikey Vick.
The pothead, though?
The pothead.
The California kid.
Sunshine.
Did y'all see that shit that happened in Cali today?
Man.
Yeah, I saw that shit.
Never ended. I was in the shop getting my haircut, seeing that shit live. They laid that motherfucker down, but that's a whole nother podcast.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, the top Twitter trend spelled Bernardino wrong.
And I am your host, P-Jack, and we're going to kick this off with some sports. We will pay tribute to the people that lost their lives out there today, and that's an unfortunate situation, and that, like I said, that truck did get lit up, and hopefully they can arrest some people if they're not all dead, and they can pay for what they did today.
But they dude has definitely paid. They laid his ass down.
we gonna kick this bad boy off with some college football. Yesterday they released the playoff rankings pre the conference championship games this week. Kevin, what did you think, and how do you think the rest of this thing is gonna play out?
But the committee pretty much made it clear that whoever wins the Big Ten is going to be in. Oklahoma's in. They don't have a game this week. Things could get interesting if Clemson or Bama lose. I don't know how they're going to treat Stanford. Right now they've got them 7 behind Ohio State. Ohio State obviously doesn't play this week. So I think the committee's got a real chance this week if Clemson or Bama go down to make a statement on the importance of winning a conference title.
That's a good point, especially with Ohio State being at 6 and North Carolina being at 10th. Shane, what did you see, and do you think the committee got it right? Do you think there's some changes that need to be made, or how did you see it when the initial ranking came out?
No, I mean it's pretty much exactly what we all expected. You know, they're like Kevin said, Oklahoma is a lock. They are locked into the playoff. We'd like to say that Alabama, we'd like to think is a lock. They're a 17-point favorite. If they beat Florida, they are in, and I think they'll finish at number 2. But, you know, as easy of a game as we all think it's going to be for Alabama, they still have to win. Alabama loses, they are out. The interesting ones are going to be, and then of course the Big Ten winners in. So that's that worked itself out for the committee. The committee's only going to have one. The committee's going to either have no decision to make, one decision to make, or two decisions to make, because the Big Ten winner is going to get in, whether it's Michigan State or Iowa. Oklahoma's locked in. Alabama with a win over Florida, they are in, and Clemson with a win over North Carolina, they are in. And you better believe that the committee is going to sit there and watch those two games and pray that Alabama and Clemson win. Because if they do, then they don't even have a decision and there won't be one even slight bit of controversy. Not at all. The issue that I think we're going to run into is I'm giving North Carolina a real shot in that game against Clemson. And the issue is going to be, if that happens, now what? Now what? Can you justify putting in an Ohio State team who completely underachieved all season? They gagged at home in their biggest game against Michigan State, and you're already going to have one Big Ten team in. Or do you go with a potential two-loss Stanford team? Now, that's Stanford's the interesting one to me, because Stanford, they play in their championship game this Saturday against USC. If Stanford wins that game and Clemson loses, to me, it's a no-brainer. I'm putting Clemson in. Now, I've heard some opinions. Some people think that, you know, North Carolina deserves, you know, some recognition there. But I don't see that happening. The committee basically told you that's not an option. Where do they rank them? 10th or something?
Yeah.
So I'm not giving them any shot. I think it's going to come down to if Clemson loses that game, if Stanford wins, I believe they will jump Ohio State. But if USC goes and beats Stanford, then you're probably looking at Ohio State in. There's just no other team there that's resume jumps out and says put them in. And I think it's kind of unfortunate.
Well, my question to you is, that I want to pose to you is, if Stanford wins out and they go and they win the Pac-12 championship, why would they not get in, per se, over Oklahoma?
Because they...
When you're comparing the resumes, if you put a sheet over the names and you just look at the resumes, of course you're going to see one loss to two loss, but you look at the losses and you compare the wins, why would Oklahoma get in over Stanford?
That Oregon game's ultimately going to trip them up. I think that's what it is. I think the Oregon game's is what's going to trip them up. And, they kind of look at it, too, as Oklahoma's the hot team right now. They're trucking everybody. I mean, I know they only end up losing, or they only end up beating TCU by one. Well, that's, Mayfield got hurt. And they're trucking everybody else they play. So they want to take a Big 12 team. They're not going to shaft the Big 12 like they did last year, which I still to this day say, if you want to go on resumes alone, TCU had a better resume than Ohio State.
Yeah.
But...
Yeah, what happened was supposed to happen.
So, Mike, you touch on it now. I pretty much, said how I feel.
No, I agree with as far as, the only people that are going to move can only be Clemson and Alabama, obviously. Oklahoma's a lock. Big Ten champion is a lock. There's really nobody outside the top seven that can get in. So you go from Stanford and up. Now, I see conference champion. I think a two-loss conference champion can trump an idle Ohio State. His resumes. Stanford had a couple nice wins. And then this is where the term bad loss, which I hate, but it comes in because you have a bad loss to Northwestern in the season opener, and then the Oregon game is going to bite them in the ass too.
But Mike,
those are good losses though.
My question.
Right, That's what I mean. Not bad loss. Good loss. A good loss.
I hear. So you're not Oregon, you're not a fan of the term of a good loss.
I hate that good loss term because it's like a way to say, well, we lost, but we lost to a good team. So this is why we have this many losses versus this team who lost to a bad team or, a good team, which Ohio State lost to a good team.
And that goes back to why I posed the question on why I think Stanford should get a better look when we're comparing Stanford and Oklahoma. Because obviously you look at the resume, you're going to say, well, who has the better win? Stanford has better wins, in my opinion, than
Stanford
Oklahoma
has
does.
Better wins.
But Stanford,
Oklahoma,
yes.
Oklahoma conference. If you go to conferences and look at the conferences. I mean, look at the Big 12 and Big 12 got shafted last year, and like Shane said, they're not going to do that again to them. They're pretty much they're there. They don't have a game. They're in. I can see Stanford leapfrogging Ohio State because a conference champion to me is a two loss conference champion is better than a one loss team that's not even in it. They're done.
Right, that's why I think Stanford has the most to gain because, they were listed behind Ohio State in the rankings, but what they don't tell you in the rankings is, Ohio State doesn't, they're done. Ohio State doesn't play this week.
Right.
Stanford's win over USC, if they get that on Saturday, which I believe they will, they would have beaten USC twice, and that's the kind of thing that would for sure jump Ohio State. Now, If there's people out there that are trying to make this case for North Carolina, and I mean, I get it, but it's just not going to happen. I mean,
And I watched the playoff committee last night, and Jeff Long, the one of the guys in the committee, and the first thing he said about North Carolina was, yeah, they're 10th, and he pretty much said the things that did them in was losing to South Carolina and then beating two FCS schools. So that pretty much did them in. Instead of giving them the credit of winning 11, 12 straight games, you know, you're pretty much saying, well, your schedule wasn't enough to get you in. Great season. Good luck. But like I said, if you're rewarding conference champs and this team won 12 in a row and then they beat the eventual number one team in the country, you know, how I thought out of respect just for hype of the playoff for the conference championship game, they would have put North Carolina a lot higher, you know, to make it a more primetime game. You know how the rankings were. They'll overrank a team that's playing that week because you want the momentum going into the game, where they just really didn't give North – I mean, they put – Florida State was ranked ahead of North Carolina, and I was very surprised to see that. Notre Dame and Florida State. I was very surprised to see that. I think the thing – you know, like Shane said earlier, I think the committee got off this year. Last year they had controversy. It happened. Two teams that thought they should have got in – didn't get in. Ohio State got in. The rest is history. But this year, you know, it was laid out for them. You know, you got the Big Ten champion is going to get in. If Clemson wins, they're in. If Alabama wins, they're in. Oklahoma, you rank Oklahoma third right now. They don't have a game. They're in. The thing, the only thing that remains is, what if Iowa wins on Saturday? Do they go from 4-1? Do they go from 4-2? What if Michigan State win? Michigan State has probably one of the best resumes in the country. Do they, if they win Saturday, do they still stay?
I say no way. I say no way, because if you want to talk about, you know, strength schedule, then Iowa, they ducked in. They look at the good Big Ten teams that they ducked in the regular season. They didn't play Ohio State. They didn't play Michigan.
I'm glad you brought that up about Iowa, because I was going to say, if Iowa can get in with the I mean, they're undefeated Big Ten, and if they're Big Ten champion, if they're Big Ten champion, of course they get in. But if Iowa loses, and I feel like UNC wins, this is a scenario I saw. If UNC wins and Iowa loses, and a couple other things fall, kind of funny that UNC can get up there, and that's a number one team in a conference championship game.
I'm going to make the case for UNC.
What will make if you look at UNC's schedule and you look at Iowa's schedule and who UNC has beat, and same for Iowa, this is where we have those good wins, bad wins, all that bullshit. But UNC's resume is pretty good when you look at it.
Yeah, but I think the thing that people are making the case for Iowa is they're just looking at the strength of the Big Ten. Whereas, right, like Shane said, Iowa didn't play none of that strength of the Big Ten. I mean, they played Northwestern, but they didn't play Michigan, who was ranked in the top 10. They didn't play Ohio State, who's ranked in the top 10. They didn't play Michigan State, who's ranked in the top 10. Now they have their opportunity on the biggest stage to get that opportunity, and it's a one-game playoff for them, but they didn't have to go through the gauntlet.
Oh, no, not at all.
The gauntlet of the Big Ten, which was the best conference in football this
and
year.
And I got to be completely honest with you, and, you know, I could have my blinders on because I'm not a fan of the program, I'm not a fan of the school, I'm not a fan of them, period. I think that Michigan State, Ohio State, and Michigan are all better. I really do.
Absolutely.
What have we seen from Iowa? Like, I get it. They're undefeated. Iowa. And if they beat Michigan State, they deserve a spot in the way the system works. But they're not a better team than Ohio State. I mean, beating Michigan State's really not going to change my mind on that. And I don't give Iowa any chance in the playoff to begin with. But I do not think they beat Michigan State. But, you know, it's – Prentice is right as far as the committee got off pretty easy this year. Their toughest decision is going to be if North Carolina beats Clemson, what do they do then? It's pretty easy if Stanford beats USC because they got to put Stanford in. But, you know, this, you're never going to stop wondering that a team that misses out on the playoffs, could they have beat any of these teams in a playoff? And that team this year is going to be Ohio State because they're not going to get in. And you're gonna sit there and wonder after this playoff is over. Let's say Alabama wins it, you know, we're gonna sit here and wondering, man, what if those two teams would have played each other again? You know what I mean? Like, it's the process is working as far as getting the teams that deserve to be in, but during these one game playoffs like the NCAA tournament, you know, the best team might not necessarily win.
Yeah.
That's true. Well, and the beauty with that is now we've North Carolina, they learned from this. Baylor had to learn from this. It's no longer putting cupcakes on your schedule.
Well, Baylor did learn from it because look at their schedule next year. They play Rice and then two other garbage teams again. I mean, they don't get it.
Yeah, but they're no longer playing the Sam Houston States, the Texas States. Like, they're getting that garbage shit off there. You can't, like, the thing is, the SEC is not getting criticized for that. Everybody in SEC plays the FCS school every year. And
Alabama play, like, 2 weeks ago?
They played
Jacksonville State, wasn't it? Or
yeah, it was something like that. And as it relates to schedules coming up this upcoming year, I mean, these games are scheduled 3-4 years ago. So there's not a whole lot they can do there. Now, if they're still scheduling, you know, Little Sisters of the Poor in 2019, then that's a problem.
All right. Well, I want to ask everybody on this panel a question before we move on, unless there's anything else you guys want to add. Right now, obviously, we don't know the matchups. And, you know, we don't know how it's, going to play out as far as who plays who. If you had to pick right now, who is the national champion this year? Prentice?
Oh, man. You know, I'm going to say Bama, but I said this on Twitter the other day, and I'm dead serious. If the matchup happens, Alabama and Michigan State is going to be the game of the year.
Oh my God.
I'm serious. Like, everybody's looking at Michigan State and they're looking at some of these games that they won. Michigan State has had a lot of guys out. When they played Michigan, they had 11 starters out. They had, like, I think 8 starters out against Ohio State, and they still took care of business.
Yeah,
the thing about
it's either going to be a great game or it's going to be like
the thing three about nothing. Yeah, but when has Michigan State ever been blew out?
Oh, yeah.
Never. Like, D'Antonio is a top 5 coach in football. He doesn't get blowed out. His team is prepared every week, and they're going to play defense, and they're going to run the ball. The difference is this year is I think it's going to be quarterback play, and you have Connor Cook. You have a pro-style quarterback. The thing about Bama that you see that they always struggle with has always been pro-style type quarterbacks, other than Johnny Manziel going nuts on them. But it's always been a quarterback that can stand in the pocket and just pick them apart. And Connor Cook is that one quarterback in this playoff that's left that can do that. I don't think anybody else can.
Okay, well, Mike, give your answer.
Well, Prentice fucking took it. I think this is the first time we ever agreed all the way thoroughly. If it stays the way it is now, if everybody takes care of business the way it is now, then I think Bama's going to be a national champion. I think the Iowa Big Ten win may flip-flop them with Oki, but I think those matchups, if they go so Clemson 1, Bama 2, Iowa 3, and then Oklahoma 4, then I think Bama wins. And probably Oklahoma over Clemson, and then you got an Alabama-Oklahoma national championship. But if Michigan State gets in, I think Michigan State jumps Oklahoma too. And that's going to be a hell of a fucking semifinal between Bama and Michigan State. And I think the winner of that game will win it all. But I really like Michigan State as a team. They beat my team, so hell, they might as well win it all since they put us
Schwab, what do you got?
Oklahoma. Gut feeling right now, Oklahoma. They're playing good, and I mean, I got a question in a game, Oklahoma versus Bama, because Kirby Smart's going to have one foot out the door. And their other coordinator is Lane Kiffin, and you saw what he did against Ohio State last year. I don't know. I've had this conversation with Helmer on Twitter too, where I just, if I had to bet, Alabama's quarterback play is going to do them in at some point.
You're not alone there. A lot of people have said that. My answer to this is, I think that Michigan State's being a little overrated here. And, you know, everybody, I think, has a short memory, and everybody's just thinking of the Ohio State game. which was an impressive win. Slice it any way you want. Backup quarterback on the road. And, you know, and that happens. I watched this Michigan State team get thoroughly dominated against Michigan the whole game. They were able to hang around because of some turnovers and obviously that absurd ending, which, you know, was something you'll probably never see again. I think this Michigan State team is, I think they're going to beat Iowa. I do. Then again, I wouldn't be surprised if they don't. I don't know. They're like a 4-point favorite. That game's more of an I don't know to me because I just don't know how good Iowa is.
I put Iowa number 2. And now, then again, I'm valuing that they haven't lost. So
okay, that's fine. My question is who's gonna win this thing? Forget the stupid rankings. You know what I mean? Like I think it's gonna end up being Alabama. But if it's not Alabama, it's going to be Oklahoma. What they have right now is this Mayfield is, man, like he is a more poised Johnny Manziel. Now he's not as, you know, electric as far as the, you know, the turning, you know, what should be 15-yard loss sacks into touchdowns, stuff like that. But it's a similar game, and you know the way they run the ball, those two running backs. I mean, they can just put it on you. Now, the question I have against Oklahoma is they're beating up on Big 12 defenses that are pretty bad.
Yeah.
So that's I think that's a fair question to wonder about Oklahoma. And me and Prentice went at it the other day. If you put up Oklahoma, Michigan State, which I don't think that'll match up because I still think that Big 10 winner is going to be 4 and they're going to have to play the number 1. And I think the first game is going to be Bama and Oklahoma. I don't think that Oklahoma matches up very well to Alabama. I think Alabama can, you know, Oklahoma's strength is running the ball, and you know we've seen Bama's just eating running backs alive.
Well, and that's what I was getting ready to say. And even like I said, even with Michigan State too. Like I said, I watched that Michigan State game live in person too. I was in the building, and Michigan dominated them.
Yeah, you're not allowed to be in the building anymore.
And, you know, but I did come away impressed with Michigan State, how they were able to come back and end the game. Not just that last play, but they stuck around. They made some plays.
Yeah, that was a great play call by D'Antonio calling the opposing punter drops the
ball play. I want to make another point here. We just sat here and all 4 of us gave our predictions for the playoffs. And
they're all different.
Not one of us. Not Prentice, not Mike, not Shane, not Schwab. Not one of us even mentioned Clemson. And they're the number 1 team. Are they not getting enough respect? I mean, I just.
Well, the matchups, like I said, if Michigan State wins and everything else stays,
then it's going to be Michigan State Clemson.
And yeah,
in the first game.
If Michigan State wins, I think they go to 3. I think they hop over Oklahoma. So it's going to be Oklahoma, Clemson. I think Oklahoma can beat them. I think Alabama would beat them if they made it to the final. I think Michigan State would beat them if they made it to the final. I think I don't see Iowa getting to the final.
I see two teams. I see two teams capable of beating Clemson, and that's Michigan State and Alabama. I
think Oklahoma could beat them.
Oklahoma.
I mean, because the thing, like, I know y'all praising Oklahoma. I know it. I hear it. But if somebody like a Bama or Michigan State who can stop the run and make Oklahoma one-dimensional, then Mayfield has to throw 30, 40 times a game. Do you believe he can beat you doing that?
Clemson. I think he'd beat Clemson.
Clemson's front line, you think that?
I mean, look at the three out of the four of us.
What they did against Baylor and TCU.
Yeah, but they don't play defense
Oklahoma,
over there.
And Oklahoma State.
I think Oklahoma State was the biggest fraud in the country, though. I mean, that's
yeah.
I don't know how many times I've said that.
Fraud. I wouldn't use the term fraud because Oklahoma State
fraud, I mean, bro. I watched them versus Texas, a game they should have lost. They looked bad. That was not a good football team.
That team wasn't that good. Let's close college football on this note, and that's why
I'm not that high on Oklahoma.
Well, let's close college football on this note. 3 out of the 4 of us picked Alabama. Me, Mike, and Prentice. And I could hear it in your voices, and I could feel it in mine. I don't say that with that much confidence. You know what I mean? Like, this is going to be fun. I think kind of, you know, Alabama's the favorite, but I think this is the ultimate. Anybody can take it. And you know, I the only team that would really, really shock me if they went on to win this thing is Iowa. And I just don't see that happening.
And I want to make one quick point on Ohio State because, you know, they had a great game last week, sure. But they've shown up 1 week out of 12. And they, I mean, they handled Penn State. So
you can't say that when you only have one loss.
I was about to say they have one loss.
So I mean, them not showing up.
They have one loss and almost a second to a MAC school.
Yeah, but they won.
How many? They weren't impressive all year.
But the team that we think is the sixth best in the country right now, that team has shown up. You can credit them for Penn State too. They handled them.
Yeah, but when they just showed 2 weeks out of 12, when they showed up, how good did they look?
Yeah, but are they going to show up?
Yeah, you know they're going to show up, man. It's hard getting up the win.
Really? Because they didn't show up against Michigan State.
Everybody says it in sports. You know it's true. You see it every year. It is so hard getting up, especially in football, to win back-to-back championships. College football, we see the letdown every year. The national champion comes back. They got a ton of talent back. It's hard being motivated every week to go in. Teams are giving you the best shot. Ohio State laid an egg. They got beat. But I think they got – I mean, Urban Meyer did do some questionable play calling, but they got outplayed that day as well. So, I mean, it happens. I mean, like I said, for you to say they pretty much laid an egg all season, didn't play to their best, and they won 10 games and they're ranked sixth in the country, I think that speaks volume how good of a team they are.
Or how bad their schedule was.
Or how
we're gonna rep Iowa for their strength of schedule.
Or true, well, how bad the schedule is, or how bad everybody else in the country is.
Ohio State is five spots ahead of Iowa in terms of strength of schedule, and we're gonna rip on Iowa, and they haven't lost, and yet you know we're talking about if this falls the right way, then Ohio State should be in, and they haven't lost. How's that right? How's that work?
What do you mean? How does it work? You got Ohio State, who's actually played two teams who are ranked fourth and fifth in the country, where Iowa has not played anybody. So there's really no point of arguing that.
I'm looking at resume ranks right now.
Who has Iowa beat in the top 15?
It was Northwestern. I saw this.
Northwestern.
That was their best win at Northwestern.
Come on, bro. Northwestern is their best win.
I'm rooting for Michigan State in that game because I think that they pose a much bigger threat to any of those other teams than Iowa does. I mean, I think Iowa could get dog walked just Notre Dame style against Alabama. I really do.
Absolutely.
I don't see Michigan State getting trucked by anybody. I don't think they can beat Alabama or Oklahoma, but they will compete. They're well coached, and you know they're built for these kind of games. Iowa could get demolished.
I agree.
All right, let's kick it up to the NFL. I know college is the hot thing right now. This past, you know, we had the Thanksgiving games. You had the Philly-Detroit. You had, you know, Philadelphia just completely lay an egg and looking like Chip Kelly's job security is out the window. You had Romo go down in Carolina with another big win. And then you had Green Bay coming off an impressive win at Minnesota, just lay an embarrassing egg at home. You done? You got that out of your system? You guys good? And then, of course, you know, New England with their first loss of the year, they dodged a big-time bullet with Gronk. And, you know, what was your biggest takeaway from this NFL weekend?
I think the Broncos are coming into their own right now, man. I watched the game. I watched their last two games when they played the Bears and they played the Pets. Osweiler, he's all right. He's all right. I think the takeaway from that is going forward, what does that team do? Because they have a great defense, as we all know. Osweiler threw for like over 250, I think, decent percentage. And shit.
And didn't they announce today he's the starter of the remainder of the season?
Well, that was a Bleacher Report.
Yeah.
And then Kubiak denied it. But I think Personally, I think that's absurd.
And then they got the running game going too. They got the running game going, and they need that. They need Anderson and Hellman. I like what they did. They did it against the Patriots.
Mike, can Denver go to New England in the AFC Championship game and win?
I don't think so. But the game got to be played, man. But if you just ask me, I'm gonna say nah.
Yeah, I'm asking your general feel. So your takeaway is you were extremely impressed with Denver and you like the direction with Osweiler, but that game, you know, getting a win like that didn't necessarily make you think any other than New England is still the best team in the AFC and probably all of football, correct?
Yeah.
Okay, Schwab, what was your number one takeaway of this weekend?
It was a fun 4 days thinking Tampa might be kind of good, and then Detroit does the same thing to Philly, and then the Thursday night game.
Oh my God, you always do that, fucking Kevin.
What?
You try to diminish every little thing Tampa has done this year, man.
No, I mean, they had this great game, and we talked about it last week, you know, and then. Well, Detroit stinks, and they did the same thing, and then Tampa lost to the Colts, and I mean, temper expectations a little bit. But then the Thursday night game, you know, and we've seen what we've seen from Jay Cutler. You know, I like him. I think he's a good quarterback, but he does have a bit of a case of Romo-itis, where he has thrown some picks at some inopportune times, and you know, Bears-Packers games, there's been a lot of those picks being thrown, and there was a pick like that in this one, but it wasn't Jay that threw it. Guys, it wasn't Jay. Mike, it wasn't Jay. That was shocking.
Jesus Christ.
So, I mean, you know, you're talking about Tampa Bay. You know, they're in that kind of middle of the road, you know, NFC wild card position where there's a bunch of teams that are just, you know, mediocre. Outside of, in my opinion, everybody's mediocre outside of Carolina and Arizona. Prentice,
yeah.
Prentice, who do you kind of, you know, your gut feel right now, what are you thinking for the two wild card spots in the NFC? Who are your favorites to end up getting that?
Seattle. You know, I think Seattle kind of proved, well, like I said, I don't know if they proved it because Pittsburgh secondary is god-awful. I think Ace called that before the first podcast we did. He talked about how horrible their secondary was. And, you know, the glorified running back, Russell Wilson, threw 5 touchdowns. And I think Seattle has absolutely flipped their identity where they went from lockdown defense where they're going to shut you down and play defense and win games. To now where it's Russell or nothing. And I think he's playing some of the best ball that he's played. It sucks they lost Jimmy Graham, which he wasn't really giving them much anyway. He did have a good game before he got hurt, but like Seattle's gonna kinda turn the page a little bit offensively and they're gonna go out there and do it. And I think they're gonna get a wild card. The other one, I don't know, man. You know, Atlanta Falcons kinda shit the bed.
Yeah, they fell off.
I mean, Green Bay is definitely going to be Green Bay, I guess. Chicago, though, is right there. And you know, the funny thing is, you know, the Bears, you know, you going into the season, you didn't know, you know, what they had or what they were going to do. You know, they lost a lot of players. They fired the staff. Cutler's still the quarterback. You know, and then you hire John Fox. But then you bring in Adam Gase as the offensive coordinator, and then you bring in Vic Fangio from the 49ers as a defense coordinator, which I cried many tears when we lost him. And the 49ers both interviewed both Gase and Fangio, and they're now – didn't take the interview seriously. Now they're on the Bears staff, and you
– Well, no, they took it seriously, but
– Kevin, they didn't. They didn't take it seriously. Now these guys are coordinators – for the Bears, and you see the difference on the defense. You see the difference in Cutler. You see the difference in the offense. And when they, I think if they don't lose Gase and they can keep him around and build with Cutler and keep going, man, they may fuck around and they may catch Green Bay and may slip them for a wild card spot. I mean, obviously, I think Minnesota, I can't say obviously, but Minnesota look like they may take that division. So Green Bay and Seattle. I'm not really feeling Atlanta.
Yeah. Okay. Well, my opinion on that is, you know, you look around at these divisions. Arizona's got the NFC West locked up. Carolina clearly has the NFC South locked up. The NFC East.
Is a shit show.
Philadelphia's 4-7, and they're a game out of a playoff spot. It's crazy. Either Minnesota or Green Bay, whoever doesn't, and believe me when I say this, I'm as down on Green Bay from top to bottom as anybody, as any fan, as any media member, as any asshole on Twitter. I'm as down as anybody. They're not going to miss out on the playoffs. They're 7-4. They have a game tomorrow, which is just enormous, at Detroit, which I think they're going to win. I mean, I'm really done guessing. I'm really done predicting. But you know, they have Dallas at home the following week, which, I mean, you would assume is a win. What it's going to come down to, I think, is the last game of the season is Minnesota at Green Bay. I think that'll be, you know, a good chance that that's going to settle the division. The other one will probably be the wild card winner because, you know, there's just too much clutter right now. And some of these teams are 5-6. You know, Green Bay, as bad as they look, if nobody knew, just judging off the last couple weeks, if I told you that they're 7-4, you'd probably look at me like I'm crazy. But they're 7-4. And, you know, 9-7, 10-6 is going to get you in the wild card. So I they're going to get in. What that means, I don't know. Probably nothing. It's just a really odd season. And it's as weird and frustrating as I can remember in a long time. Now, I want to ask you guys,
Do I get to pick?
I'm sorry. I do you get to pick what?
My wild card teams.
Oh, well, I mean, you can, but you're kind of on probation after saying the Bears were going to win the division. And believe me, I know what it's like to be on probation. It's not fun, and you don't really get to do much.
I agree with that one.
So, you know, just you can give us your two wild cards, but I'm not really looking for any analysis. Give me two picks.
Just looking at who's in the picture, Atlanta fell off like we talked about. The NFC East, that's a train wreck. The West, Seattle, I'm not too sure about. I mean, I don't know how much Jimmy Graham's going to hurt. Marshawn Lynch could be an issue losing him, although Rawls has filled in nicely. Packers, I think, are in because they got two games on anyone, I think, with a chance, really, or at least one on Seattle. And I'm looking at their schedule, worst case scenario, I think they win at least two more. And the other one, I'm going to take the Bears for the wild card. Tampa, you know, nice start. Way to bounce back after getting run out of your own building week one. You're a year away. Things look better than they did at this time last year, but you're a year away.
Okay. I don't know if I misheard you or what, but you picked three wild card teams. You said Seattle, Green Bay, and
Packers and Bears.
So you think Seattle's gonna not get in?
Right.
Okay. Well, that being said, there's a big game this week. You know, looking at the schedule, Seattle at Minnesota. That's a monster game for NFC standings. I want to jump over to the AFC.
I mean, even next week, I mean, you got Chicago Bears play Minnesota. I mean, excuse me, Washington. So that'll be a big game for both. And then the following week, they're at Minnesota. So, you know, don't pencil the Bears in so quick. You know, they got some – if they can win these next three games, you know, then
– Can I make a very, like, burning hot take?
Let's get this hot take.
So week one, when the schedule was released, I looked at the Bears' last five games, and I said we could be in big trouble in the beginning of the year. But if we maintain somehow and get to about 4-7 or 5-6, where they're actually at, the Bears can win their last five games.
Yeah, you can make a little run.
They can win their last five games.
They could. I mean, San Francisco, Washington at Minnesota at Tampa and Detroit to finish out.
And if they drop one though,
they lost by three points apiece to both of them teams.
Right.
And I think that the Vikings have more of a threat, obviously, with AP. But if Forte's there, Langford's there, I think they can beat them. I really think this team can win their last five games. They can go on a hell of a run, a 6-game winning streak, and fucking go.
But the history, the history with the Bears, and it's kind of shown, is they go and beat a team that you just don't think they're gonna beat, a game that, you know, like Green Bay, and then they will lay an egg against a completely inferior opponent. Now you might look at that differently now because, you know, it's a whole new coaching staff, and, you know, it's fair to say this coaching staff is up there in the league. Up with anybody. Yeah. I mean, that's the number one reason for the Bears' success this year. And
I'm looking at this like 9-7 probably gets you in, which on the one hand, it's like there are a lot of really mediocre teams in the league this year. On the other hand, how much fun are the last few weeks going to be where just about every game has
playoff implications? I love it. I love when they flex that game to, you know, one of those games that has huge implications to Sunday night or even the late afternoon Fox game. It's a fun time of year because the NFL, it's not like, you know, the NBA, like, you can get a – I argue with people on this on Twitter all the time, like Jeff Axel last year. He was trying to tell me that, you know, his Celtics get in at the 7 or 8 seed and you never know, you have a shot. No. That's not how it works in the NBA. It's a 7-game series. The better team's going to win.
No, not really.
In the playoffs,
he might
be
thinking hockey,
you get in.
Not basketball.
What? Yeah, no, I agree with you. I'm saying he was saying that, you know, any team that gets in has a shot in the NBA, and I said that's absurd.
In the NFL,
anybody can get in. Anybody who gets in can win. That's just the way it works. I mean, it happens. Look at the Giants. 2 years they won the Super Bowl, they were 9-7. Nobody gave them a chance. They beat the Patriots twice in the Super Bowl. They beat the 15-1 Packers in Green Bay. Nobody gave him a prayer. All you have to do is get in the NFL. I think that's why it makes it exciting. And that's where I disagree with the people like towards the end of the year saying, oh, well, you know, we need to lose these games to get that draft pick. You know what? That draft pick at 15 or 16, I'd much rather give me a ticket to the dance and let my team have a shot. That's all you need in the NFL.
No, that's true. Yeah. I agree with you.
A wild card team is not equivalent to an 8th NBA.
Oh, I agree. It's crazy.
Wild card team is in. They go on a fucking run, and I mean, we've seen it plenty of times.
Well, that brought up my next question. You know, we laugh at the mediocrity of the NFC and some of these teams in the middle. You know, your two wild cards in the AFC are right now the Kansas City Chiefs and the Houston Texans. I mean.
And they get a win.
Well, you know what, Shane? And we touched on this earlier in the season. Remember when I told you Kansas City wasn't as bad as their record indicated? Remember they lost to Seattle, they had lost to Denver. You know, they were playing the best ball at that time, and Kansas City had some injuries. But now, you know, Kansas City defense can play with anybody. And now they've caught a little fire and they win in some games. And like I said, their first five games was ridiculous. And they came out. I mean, they lost a few, and you know, it kind of put them behind. But now they're back in it. They're one of those teams where you talk about the Giants who get in the playoff and who can make a run and win it. I don't think they can win the Super Bowl, but I think they can get to the AFC Championship.
I mean, and it's too like you look at Kansas City and. You know, they lost Jamal Charles to an ACL. If that isn't further proof of, and, you know, Jamal Charles is obviously a phenomenal football player. If that isn't further proof of, you know, your running back, it doesn't matter. Like, they plugged in Charkhandrick West and Spencer Ware, and those guys have been playing outstanding. Le'Veon Bell goes down for Pittsburgh. Look at D'Angelo Williams. He's one of the best running backs in the league this year.
Fuck yeah.
It's wild. And, you know, look at these quarterbacks. Like, look at these teams. The Colts are 6-5. Matt Hasselbeck, they're winning games with him. It's
undefeated.
It's crazy. And I mean, Houston Texans, Brian Hoyer. It's just wild. Like the only, you know, the two best quarterbacks in the AFC are Tom Brady and Ben Roethlisberger. But, you know, Andy Dalton's turned into, you know, a pretty good player. And everybody laughs because he sucks in the playoffs. Well, guess what? I'm taking Andy Dalton over any of those other mediocre quarterbacks. We've all been watching this, I assume, our whole lives. We're all right around the same age. Kevin's a little younger. I cannot remember an NFL season that was, like, stranger to me. Like, this whole thing is, it's just wild.
Because the thing is, I think we've been so used to seeing Breeze, Brady, Manning at the top putting up crazy numbers. You throw Stafford up there, throw 5,000 yards. You know, you have a few other quarterbacks that put up numbers. And when your top guys aren't putting up those numbers, and you got Cam Newton who's an MVP candidate, which the numbers, you look at the numbers that don't necessarily say so, but you look at on-field performance, you know, that's a totally different situation. But we're so used to seeing these guys put up monster numbers and defense can't stop them. And now that's not the case, and it looks horrendous. The thing is that some of the young stars, you know, RG3 bench, Andrew Luck hurt, Russell Wilson was struggling. You know, you got Cam, Teddy, and Jameis playing good ball. Mariota's playing good ball when they win and he's healthy. But, you know, it's the young guys are the ones that are kind of making everything, and Brady are the ones that's making the quarterback position look steady, whereas everybody else is just, I mean, Ryan Tannehill and, I mean, Jesus Christ, I can go to every division and just look, and it's just a fucking shit show of what's going on at the quarterback position. San Francisco, I mean, the funny thing is nobody's talking about Carson Palmer in the year he's having. It's just because you're just not used to seeing him being one of the better quarterbacks. We're just so used to seeing those same four or five every year putting up monster numbers, and it's not happening. But you're right. I mean, it's like the stars fucking aligned and Mars is on Earth, and it's just something that's not fucking making sense of how bad these guys are playing at quarterback. And you can't even make an excuse for it. I don't even know what to say, what to think.
Yeah, and, you know, I think if you look at, like, some of these quarterbacks that have, you know, fallen off, the one that really steps out to me is Matt Ryan. I mean, that whole situation is just bizarre to me, because you know what's weird about it is a lot of times when you see a quarterback that, you know, takes a step back like that, he has little to no running game. Well, Devontae Freeman's been one of the best running backs in the league all year. You still have Julio Jones. You still have at least a competent Roddy White. There's pieces there. Like, I don't understand that.
If Matt Ryan had a great year, like, he got better in his career, and then he had an off year, you'd be like, well, fuck, he's just struggling. You know what I'm saying? But I don't think Matt Ryan has truly gotten better in his career. Like, he hasn't taken he's never taken his game to that other level. So, I mean, to be honest, I'm really not surprised by it. Like,
you know, a lot of people think that he's been shook ever since that NFC Championship loss to the 49ers when they were upset. You remember as well as anybody. They were up 17-0. I thought that game was over. The way their offense was rolling, and then, you know, they just lost another game, and people questioned him. And okay, we're going to transition into the NBA here. And, you know, with the Kobe Bryant stuff that's been happening, I tweeted the other day, I believe it was Brendan was the original tweeter, DC Dallas fan, our guy out in Dallas. He tweeted something about Kobe and called him top 10. And I tweeted him, which ended up turning into a firestorm of slander. My initial reaction was, you know, sometimes you type out tweets and then you maybe a few minutes later say, yeah, maybe I don't know about that. That's kind of where I am here. And everybody's guilty of that. I'm as guilty as anybody. And I said Kobe is not a top 10 player to me. And you know, I had a bunch of people that were, you know, like offended, like I just insulted their mother or their girlfriend or something. I want you guys to, if you can, at least give me a top 5 or top 10 all-time NBA players. Not what they've accomplished. All-time best players. Prentice, start us off.
Now, before I give my top 10, you know, I've always been a huge... I've always been a huge component of saying that it is truly hard to rank guys that you didn't see.
Yeah, this is not easy. This is not an easy question.
It's not easy. So when I
can guys, I pause real quick first before we get into this? How are we handling LeBron James? Because
how you
the book on him is not
you really handle good. Him how you want to handle him. It's,
okay,
I would suggest you don't have to do this, but I would suggest doing it by how. By saying how you think he will finish. Because if you're going to throw Tim Duncan in your top 10, which I am, I mean, he's pretty much at the end here. LeBron's obviously not quite at the end. So, if LeBron, if you're going to put LeBron in your top 10, how you think he finishes.
Okay. Well, like I said, you know, it's hard to rank guys that you didn't see. Like a Bill Russell, a Wilt Chamberlain. Oscar Robertson, you know, you can always read up on accomplishments and see what they've done in their NBA career, but it's so hard to say, hey, this guy is definitely better than this guy when you didn't see him play. And then also looking at the eras that they played in as well. You know, I have, you know, Michael Jordan to me is without a doubt the best player that ever played the game. And I don't think that ever will change. I don't think it's that big of a margin, to why he is number one. I think a lot of Michael Jordan's success with fans is his business ventures and how popular he is outside of the court. They're just looking at on the court basketball accomplishment. There's some guys that's right there, but Jordan is the best. Two is Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. You know, you go about looking at accomplishments and what a guy has done on the court and also having a move that was unstoppable. You know, nobody can stop Kareem Skyhook. He played 20 years. He's the number two scorer in NBA history. He dominated in high school. He dominated in college. If he would have played 4 years in college, he would have won 4 national championships. You know, he dominated in the pros. Three, now this is where I think it starts to get a little tricky because you're starting to look at where LeBron, I think, can finish up. I think at the when it's all said and done, LeBron will probably be 2 or 3 for me. For right now, I'm going to put him 3rd all time when he's done. I'll say he'll finish behind Jordan and Kareem. 4th, I'm going to go Magic. 5th, I will go I've kind of moved him up and down my list. Like I said, didn't see him play. But when you go back and you kind of look at the history of what he done, not just the one season, but over a period of like 4 or 5 seasons where Oscar Robertson almost averaged a triple-double in the one season that he did, that's incredible. I don't care who you are, what level you play on. You could be LeBron James playing in Division II. You're not going to average a triple-double in a season, let alone almost do it for 5. You know, so I'm going to put Oscar at, what'd I say, 4 or 5? I'm going to put Oscar at 5. Then I'm going to go on a roll here and put, I'm going to put Tim Duncan 6. The accomplishments Tim Duncan has done in his career is absolutely incredible, and he's still not done. He may even win another ring this year. I'm going to go Duncan 6. I'm going to go Shaq 7. Shaq is my favorite player of all time. Incredible. If he wouldn't have fucked around with Kobe, he'd probably be higher on this list. 7, Shaq. 8 and 9, I'm going to go Russell and Wilt. And then 10, I'm going to go Kobe. Larry Bird was the one that got moved out of my list once LeBron joined the top 10.
All right, I'm going to give mine next. And I want, you know, it's funny. You were one of the guys ripping me on Twitter for not putting Kobe in the top 10. You have him 10th.
Well, but that's no disrespect. I mean, I could easily put Kobe Bryant over Bill Russell and Wilt Chamberlain.
Okay. I mean, my list isn't much different than yours. I got to be completely honest with you. I mean, again, this is not easy. This is a
hell
really
of a time.
I mean, you know, one, it's Jordan. It's not close. LeBron James is one of my favorite athletes of all time. The only time I've ever really entertained the LeBron Jordan comparison is to kind of troll the butthurt people that think basketball stopped when Jordan left the game. He's just, you know, LeBron's game isn't even similar to Jordan's, other than they're the, you know, the best in their sport at their, during their eras. They play in no way, shape, or form the same. Number two, I have Magic Johnson. That if there was one guy that in any sport that I wish that I could have seen in his prime when I was, 17, 18 to however old I'm 27 now, I really wish it was him, because of everything that all the videos I've watched and all the things I've read. I mean, there was nobody, he could play 1 through 5. He could guard 1 through 5. It was incredible. Three, I'm going to go LeBron. I think when it's all said and done, he's going to finish third. I think he's more like Magic Johnson than he ever was Jordan. And, I mean, he's been the best in this league for years now. And I don't know how many top years he has left, but he's going to go down as the third best player to me. Number four is Kareem. Hello, can you guys hear me?
Yeah.
Sorry, I hit the mute button on accident. I went Kareem four. Fifth, Oscar Robertson. Six, Bill Russell. Seven, Tim Duncan. Eight, Shaq. I think like Prentice said, Shaq is, during his best Laker years, he was as dominant of an athlete as I've ever seen in my life.
Ever.
I've never seen a guy, and I think you guys can attest to this, I've never seen a guy dominate like he did. It was incredible. Then nine, I have Larry Bird. You got to throw a white guy in there. Come on. And then 10, I'll go with the overrated, inefficient Chucker. No, I'm kidding. Kobe Bryant's 10th. Hey, Kobe Bryant said, I really hope people don't remember him by, what these last few years have been. His prime, he was incredible. And I said it last night, people forget how great of a defender he was. He had all defensive teams, and he could lock you down and give you 42, 43 on any given night. And he was a special player that, the game, we will remember him and talk about him for many, many years. Schwab, Balsell, your 10.
And hold on, before you finish, like I had said on Twitter, man, that, right now we're given our top 10s, but it really wouldn't surprise me 15, 20, 25 years from now when we're sitting here having discussions with our kids and grandkids that we don't call Kobe, Jordan, and LeBron the best three players that we've ever seen. It really wouldn't surprise me. I think people kind of discredit Kobe for what we've seen lately, and then the chucking years once Shaq left. But Kobe in his prime, you talk about a guy, like you said, lock you down and score 40 on you.
There were some bad times with Kobe, just like there was LeBron. But there were some times with Kobe. I'm not talking about this year or last year, but even when he was still in his prime, that people, were down on him for, like that game 7 against the Suns when they had a 3-1 lead, and then it went to the 7th game. I'll never forget.
Yeah, he quit.
He quit because people were saying he was shooting too much, and he didn't take a shot in the first half or something, and he finished the game with only a few points, and it was like that was his way of making a statement. It was incredibly selfish, and it was ridiculous.
I don't know, Kobe. Kobe had some awfully great years. That's to be sure. I think there are going to be guys having comparable years. LeBron, though, I don't know how many other athletes we're going to see that have just a combination of just the size and athleticism and just how he does everything so well. And then obviously Jordan is Jordan. I don't know about those guys if we're going to see guys better than them. But anyway, my top 10, I struggled with this one because I didn't know how to handle him. He's not done yet. Right now, LeBron, I put number 10. 9, Hakeem. 8, Kobe. 7, I got the big fundamental, Tim Duncan. 6, Big O. 5, Wilt. 4, Magic. 3, Kareem. 2, Bill Russell. And number 1 is obvious, Jordan.
No Shaq in your top 10.
First one out.
Yeah, right. See, like that was my thing. Like what you just asked Schwab that question. That's why, like on Twitter, I said, you know, when just because you don't
actually, have then, in your sorry, top 10, Moses Malone was 11, then Shaq.
Okay, yeah. I mean,
you're tripping. Kareem and Moses is my number 11, and Hakeem may be 12. There's no way I'm putting them two over Shaquille O'Neal. I'm sorry. Check us out on iTunes. Check out the website, goodifitgoes.com. Good if it goes.